Let's get rolling right out of the chute this afternoon as we talk hockey with our friend Mike McMahon of College Hockey News, who joins us so well en route to see the start of a big series tonight between Lowell and Merrimack. Mike, how are you?
Not bad. I'm surviving this crazy weather down here in the Boston area today. So hopefully I continue to do so ahead of the games tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. You guys get a taste of winter. We haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, luckily for me, we haven't had any snow, but we live pretty close to the water, so there's been some flooding in the neighborhood, and the wind's pretty crazy, and it's looks like a hurricane at times. The wind's gotten pretty bad; we got branches all over the place. But luckily, we've avoided the flood. The flood's been a little further downtown from where we are.
Well, good. Well, stay safe out there, and let's talk about tonight: number 7 versus number 10. You know both these teams very well. How does Merrimack match up with the Riverhawks?
That's the question. We don't know, really. I mean, they played last weekend. They played twice. They closed the regular season against each other. Then they'll play again this weekend in that best-of-3 series in the opening round. And it was two completely different games. Merrimack completely owned the ice last Friday, came away with a 4-1 win, and just really ran Lowell out of the building. They really outplayed them. And then you get to Saturday, last Saturday night, Lowell did the same thing to Merrimack. It was a 5-0 game. Lowell just ran them out of the Sonka Center. So it's kind of tough to get a read on the matchups, because one team looked so good on Friday, and then the other team looked so good on Saturday. They really flipped the script. So what we're going to see this weekend, I don't really know, because it's kind of hard to get a read on it when you saw two games that were in complete opposite directions just last weekend.
Interesting matchup, too. As always, when you have 8 and 9 going at each other, UMass playing host to Vermont. How do you size that one up?
Yeah, we'll see if Vermont can come back after that game last night. Vermont, they started last night, I think, because of basketball at the Mullen Center this weekend. But they had their game won last night, and Vermont had a 2-0 lead midway through the second period. More than halfway through the game, Vermont had a 2-0 lead in that game. UMass comes back, ties it late, wins it with, I think, 3.5 seconds left in overtime. So really kind of a demoralizing loss for Vermont last night, the way that they did. So we'll see if they can come back and get things back on track. That's a team that struggled at times this year for large stretches. They played really well down the stretch. And UMass, as young as they are, you kind of expected them to be hot and cold, and they were hot and cold over the course of the year. But you think sometimes coaches say that momentum is carried more with younger teams. It's harder for younger teams to get out of slumps, and it's kind of easier for younger teams to ride the wave of momentum. You would think coming back with the 2-goal deficit last night and winning in overtime, that UMass has quite a bit of momentum right now.
Well, and in your preview, Coach says they're not UMass, they're New Mass. What does he mean by that?
Yeah, they've been using that all year. Greg Carville's been using that all year as their moniker. And it's just they've got so many new players. I think they've got 15 new players on their roster. They have more new players to the roster than returning players. I believe they have 15 new players and 13 returning. So they really overturned their roster last year. I mean, last year was his first year on campus. He took over for John Micheletto. And towards the end of the year, not only do they have guys graduating, but there were probably 8 guys that were either cut or left the team. So they really turned over their roster last year. And that's really where it started. Was they're a new team. They wanted to turn the page on the past. The last 4 or 5 years has been pretty thin for that UMass program, and they wanted to turn the page. And they have this year. They had their two highest draft picks ever. Cal McCarr, a defenseman, was number 4 overall. And Mario Ferraro, another defenseman, was a second-round pick of the San Jose Sharks. So they really did. They reformed their roster in just a year, and it does look like a new team. And it's important to know, I mean, they were pretty much a 500 team. They finished in 8th in Hockey East this year, and they had 13 freshmen. They had 2 transfers. So 13 freshmen. I think their top 5 or 6 scores, all freshmen. So that should be a team that, over the next couple of years, if they stay together, really starts to make some noise.
Up at the Alphon this weekend, a great match of rivals with Maine and New Hampshire. It's not quite the way the series used to be, but a little added drama is, of course, potentially the final games for Dick Umiele if the Black Bears can pull out a couple of wins this weekend.
Yeah, it seems appropriate, doesn't it, that it would be these two teams this weekend in what would be Umiele's last games. It does. It feels appropriate. Like you said, the rivalry isn't exactly where it was in the 90s, let's say, but it's still a rivalry. Both coaches talked about it earlier this week. They had a media conference call on Tuesday, and Coach Jennings and Coach Umiele both talked about how this is a rivalry. It's two rivals going at it in the playoffs, and you really can't beat that when it comes to college hockey. So it should be a fun weekend. I think this is a matchup that favors Maine, especially just you look at UNH, and they were so good at the beginning of the year. I think they started 6-1 or 5-1 or something like that. They've got just one win since December. So I think it's December 6th. They've got just one win since December 6th. So it could be difficult for a team to overcome a slump like that. I think they're like 1-13-4, I think it is, in their last 18 games. That's more than half a season. I mean, you extrapolate that over a full season, you're looking at a team that's on pace to only win 2 or 3 games. So UNH has really, really struggled. They're going to go up to Alphon this weekend, a tough place to play. But at the same time, they played 3 times in the regular season. All 3 of the games went to overtime. And you're going to have a UNH team that's not only looking to extend their season, but they're looking to extend the career of their coach. So you don't know what those emotions are going to do to the games this weekend.
We're talking with Mike McMahon of College Hockey News here on Downtown. Well, it's funny, you look around Hockey East and only 2 Hockey East teams in the top 16 in the pairwise. Could this be a year where only 2 Hockey East teams make it into the NCAAs?
I think that will be the case. Yeah, it's Providence and Northeastern right now look like they're pretty much in. They've got a pretty good shot at getting in. If someone outside of those 2 teams wins the Hockey East tournament, then they'll get 3. More than likely, you know, if BC or BU or Maine or whomever, not Providence, they're already in there. But, you know, if one of those teams is able to sneak up and take the tournament, then you could get a 3rd team. But it does look like right now that they're only on pace to get 2. And that goes back to December and November and October. You know, we talk at the beginning of the year, some teams play non-conference games almost as kind of glorified exhibitions. They don't beat anything in the conference standings. And that's true, but Hockey East's record in non-conference games this year was so bad that when you look at the pairwise, which is going to determine seeding for the NCAA tournament, really takes into account non-conference games. That's the only way they have to compare teams who aren't in the same conference. It's comparing those non-conference games. So they really swing the pairwise quite a bit, and Hockey East performed so poorly in the pairwise that you kind of knew back in like the middle of November, hey, this could be an issue. And here we are in March, and it has been. You know, they're going to have trouble keeping teams in that top 16. They'll get a couple just by nature of the league being as good as it is. But the non-conference record struggling as much as it has, you know, it's going to be the reason why they get at most 3 teams. That's pretty much the max. More than likely, they're on pace to get 2. Their non-conference record wasn't as bad as Atlantic Hockey, but it's the same reason why good Atlantic Hockey teams have struggled. Good Atlantic Hockey teams that don't win their tournament struggle to get into the NCAAs because the non-conference record of their conference is so weak. So we've seen in the past Atlantic Hockey League schools that have 22 wins, 23 wins, not get in if they don't win their conference tournament because the relative strength of their conference is just not very good. Hockey's, their non-conference record wasn't as bad as Atlantic Hockey this year, but the NCHC and the Big Ten especially just blew them away.
Mike, as you look around the country, top 3 teams in the pairwise, St. Cloud State, Notre Dame, Cornell. Is there a team that's head and shoulders above everybody else from your perspective?
I don't think so. No, I think everybody in the top 5 or 6 is pretty close. You know, last year, I think people looked at Denver as being a team on a mission. You've always kind of had, it seems like at this time of year, that one team that people are looking at and saying, okay, that's the clear-cut favorite. I don't really see a lot that separates the top 5 or 6. They're mostly NCHC and Big Ten schools. You know, Minnesota State is in there as well out of the WCHA, although I kind of question their strength of schedule a little bit. They put a good non-conference schedule, but their competition in their league is relatively weaker than the Big Ten and the NCHC for sure. So it's going to be interesting. I don't really think that there's a favorite, though, when you look at these teams right now. Notre Dame is probably my favorite in January. They ripped off 17 or 18 in a row without losing. But even then, even they have kind of struggled here down the stretch. So I don't really see the team that right now is the head and shoulders favorite.
That all makes for fun times here over the next few weeks. Mike, as always, great for us to talk with you. Travel safely. Enjoy those games this weekend. And we'll catch up with you again a little later on in the postseason.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
That's Mike McMahon of College Hockey News.